Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am good.
Oh,
oh, no.
Oh, man. Apparently, we have to debug John again. Because he has
I have max headroomitis.
He's stuck in a logic loop.
Yep. Oh, man. Hate when that happens. Anyhow, it's great to have both of you here. And what we're going to have to do is pick John up so he's like 6 inches off the floor and then just let him go.
Oh,
so when he hits the ground, it resets all of the chips.
Drop him gently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm rebooted.
Oh,
next step.
Great.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
See, I'm fine now.
Oh, man. I didn't even think, just reboot. I should have gone there first. Anyhow, hey, so I want to talk about the coverage the iPhone X has been getting ahead of this Friday's launch. And so we've had what I'll call the official reviews coming out over the past couple days. And so that would be from the places you expect to see reviews. So like the Wall Street Journal and I think The Verge has theirs out. There's a bunch of places that have them out. iMore has theirs out now. And that's great. But what I'm really interested in is the coverage that happened before the reviews got to drop. So this is like even before Stephen Levy, who got to do the first iPhone X review, before his review went up, there was all this YouTube coverage, and it wasn't leaks. It was legit Apple-authorized coverage. Apple got together a bunch of YouTubers, popular YouTubers, and let them go hands-on with the iPhone X for a little while, and then let them run their video coverage the day before the first traditional reviews started going out. And
yeah.
And I'll just come right out and say, I thought this was a brilliant idea.
I think so too.
And
it's great.
Okay. So what is it that makes you think this is a brilliant idea? And then I'll let you know what I think.
Well, it's a good idea because there's lots of ways to reach people. In some ways are rather cerebral and off in a corner, and some ways are popular writers, and some ways are on Instagram, and some ways are on Google, and some ways are on Google YouTube. So Apple has probably figured out that there's lots of avenues and channels to reach people, and not this traditional mom and, you know, your dad's website, if I may say, is a good way to do it, but it's not the only way to do it. So we've got the highbrow reviews from Levy and Ulanov and Pogue, and then we've got the exciting, YouTube action packed, glitzy, here's a cool introduction, let's get all excited and have some fun YouTube video. So I think it's great.
All right, and I'll tell you what I think. Kelly, I have intentionally not asked you yet because I know as soon as I get you started, I'm going to have to break out the popcorn.
Yeah.
So.
I'm good.
I think this is a really good idea because Apple is doing one of those things that it does so well, and it's looking to the future, and it's looking to where the trends are and where the trends are going. So when the first iPhone came out, we had reviews in print. And then the people that were doing everything online, which included us, then we were able to start doing our reviews later. And there was this transition several years ago where it was the web people, the bloggers and the online journalists that were getting the reviews first, and then we were getting the follow-up in print. And now and that changed because Apple saw that's where people were looking first for this type of content. Well, things have been changing again because that's just how it works. And people are looking more to YouTube for a lot of the information and content that they want. Therefore, Apple is going down that avenue and exploiting that just in the way they exploited the what I'll now call traditional web, and before that traditional print. This is just the natural evolution of how people are consuming media. Apple totally gets it, and they're embracing it, and good for them.
Mm-hmm. Except there may be some politics involved. Kelly, step forward.
So I want to start by talking for a minute about life during the first iPhone. Okay, so here's what life was like in 2007. It was the year that we got the last new book of the Harry Potter series. It was the seventh year the Deathly Hallows came out in 2007, the book, not the movie. I think the Wii was the hot Christmas gift in 2000, not the Wii U, just the Wii in 2007. Mm-hmm. That was the year of the Epic Prince halftime show. So think about how long ago that feels to you. That was 10 years. So like hardly anybody had Facebook yet because it was just starting. Everybody had a MySpace account at that point. The phone, when you talk to people about their phone, their cell phone, if they were high powered people, they had a BlackBerry. That was the only option if you were going to have anything that wasn't some sort of feature phone.
And the rest of us had a Motorola Razr.
Exactly. The stories. So that's where we were in 2007. So it made sense to give them to people whose reviews were going to go into the paper, right? Like the newspaper. That's where you would read this kind of stuff and absorb that sort of information. There were some people who were getting some of that information online, but they were getting it from the online version of the newspaper. Not everybody was reading Mac Observer at that point. They should have been, but they weren't. So there weren't a whole lot of online only media outposts at that time. That's what it looked like. I'm trying to give people a taste of where we were. And so then all of a sudden the people with the newspapers, like I want to say maybe iPhone 4, like 2010-ish.
That sounds about right.
In that neighborhood was when they gave a phone to someone on the web. So somebody like, I'm trying to think who it would have been early on, but some of the web only outlets got some of this stuff. So maybe you would read something on Yahoo News that was only on Yahoo News that wasn't Yahoo aggregating news from a bunch of newspapers. Mm-hmm. So that's where we were. And a bunch of people who were the newspaper reviewers went, well, what's all this nonsense? What's Apple's problem? Why are they giving phones to people who clearly don't deserve them because they don't write for real newspapers? And the words they put together will never end up in ink on paper. Shenanigans, you know, pistols at dawn. And so, but some of those guys, like, you know, Rene Ritchie at iMore, he has a review out now. He's been at it for a long time. Jason Snell, who did stuff for Macworld and now does stuff for Six Colors, he's got a review up.
Jim Dalrymple at the
Jim,
Loop. He has his review up now.
Lance Alinoff.
On online only, all of them. And so Apple, keeping their eye on what people in the world are doing, those at large, not just people who listen to podcasts, people who make podcasts, people who write content that gets commented about on podcasts. Instead of talking to sort of the air quote tech writer echo chamber that the Apple universe sometimes feels like it can be, because you're getting exactly the same information from all these people, whether it's righteous indignation, whether it's even, you know, worth them being indignant over, those folks weren't any of the people who were invited to this thing where Apple gave out phones for like a supervised PR session to people who have YouTube channels with significant followings. So High Snobiety was one of them. Soldier Knows Best was one that I saw I'm not sure if they were at the event, but it sure seemed like they were because they knew a whole lot about the phone. Mm-hmm. There was a girl who doesn't have a clever name on her YouTube channel. Her name is Sarah, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her last name. I watched Bored at Work. That was another one that got to go, and it was pretty great. So I watched some of these reviews, and the first thing I noticed as a non-white male, the first thing I noticed was that one of them was a woman, And one of them was a black guy who had a black woman with him as they were playing with the phones. And then the high snobiety guys, one of them also was not a white guy. And so I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I looked at these, and so I was watching, and the whole reason I even was aware of these videos is because apparently John Gruber, one of those young web upstarts who was unworthy of getting to have any sort of dealings with Apple, wasn't at this event, and he's furious about it. And he went on his website and he posted something about each, like calling out these videos, you know, thank God they were able to get an advanced unit. Thank God they were able to get their hands on a phone. And here's the thing is, at one point he characterized them as reviews. And there's another equally insightful article over at Recode about the same thing. Mm-hmm. And here's what I think is interesting about it. None of them are called reviews. These are all like hands-on, first impressions, things like that. And they're great. And they're fun to watch because the people are like, I get to play with a new thing. And it's pretty awesome. I'm excited to get to see this. I'm excited to see how this works. I'm looking forward to how this is going to be out in the world, you know, and like people who said, like, I'm not going to lie, the Animoji thing looks pretty neat. Or
you know what this reminds me of, Kelly?
I don't take a lot of selfies, but
I'm going to. The poop Animoji thing that Brian was talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Excitement, the visual, the glitz.
Yeah.
You know, you can read about how 3D Touch uses the capacitance between two layers of glass to sense the pressure level in a review. But, you know, that's not going to sell iPhone 10s.
No. And you know, like, I remember seeing 3D Touch in action, and I remember watching them describe it to me and going, that sounds nice. And then I remember getting my 6S, and I remember the first time I swiped from the left-hand side of the screen to the right-hand side of the screen, and all of a sudden it was a new app. And I went, oh, this is amazing. And I like made an effort to make sure I was like doing it all the time. And it was super great. And then everybody I knew who had a new phone, I was like, did you know about this? Watch this.
Surprise and delight.
Yeah, it was so, I was so excited. And so then I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing. And I started like force touching on all the stuff to find out, like, on the camera, you can take a selfie, on the phone, you can dial a favorite, on messages. It like gets smarter about who you text during those points in the day. And those people will pop up in that menu. And I hope I'm showing things off to people right now. If you use the flashlight on your phone all the time, if you're one of those people who needs it in a dimly lit restaurant, force touch the flashlight. 3D if you touch. Have a success 3D or higher.
Touch. 3D touch.
3D touch the flashlight. In 6S or high, on a 6S or higher phone, and you can adjust the brightness so you don't have to blind yourself or your dining companion. It's so amazing. Anyway, so here's the deal. Gruber's all mad about it, and I'm like, why are you mad? And then I'm like, oh, wait, because you have now become the cool kid at the table because you have these Apple sources and people at Apple PR invite you to things and you're supposed to get stuff early. And now you're not the person who's getting the stuff the earliest anymore, even though none of this stuff was ever supposed to be an in-depth review. It was supposed to be basically more advertising, people going out and going, I got my hands on one. I'm really excited to get my hands on one. I'm going to tell all the people who watch my YouTube channel, I got my hands on one. Here's what I think about it. It was really fantastic because all of them talked about specifically for them how it would be.
And well, let me ask you something. Loved it. Does a thorough, in-depth technical review create buyer desire?
No.
No. It does in a very narrow set of buyers.
Yeah.
But a video where you see someone really excited about the features they're getting to play with, that will sell phones.
Absolutely.
So now I don't think that this means that the need for a more in-depth product review is over. We still need those because
absolutely not.
Yeah. People still are interested in that information. They still want to know, how do these features actually work? How do they relate to them on a more technical level?
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is what bothers me about those, is that even when people get them in advance and then the air quote official reviews come out from people like Gruber and whoever else, the reason that this bothers me is because I don't want that review. I had it for a week and blah, blah. No. Give me this review after Thanksgiving. Give me this review in January. I know you're missing out on the buying season, but I want to know what it's like in life, day to day, now that you've used it over Thanksgiving to take pictures of all your family and friends, and how much better are those pictures, and what happened when you dropped it in the gravy boat trying to take a selfie. And like, that's the information that I want out of a review. Like, yes, I want to understand the technical features and I want you to tell me about them, but I also want you to tell me about what it's like in life. And a week, or the trip to Disneyland that I can't remember, I think it's Matt Panzerino, like, takes one to Disneyland every year with his family to see what it's really like. Like, those are great, but I want to know day to day, especially from people who had previous phones. And that's one of the things that I liked about these videos, was watching people be excited and watching people actually use some of these things. And it was super great to see them and to see people talk about them, because here's the thing. Not everybody was like, this is so exciting. This is the best thing ever. I can't even, like, no, some of them were like, let's talk about gestures for a minute, because now that there's not a home button, which I use all the time for all the things, here are what the gestures look like. And it's going to be weird. And it's a thing to have to get used to. And other people talked about, like, Face ID seemed sort of weird, but now that I've spent a couple, you know, an hour or so using it, it seems really great. You go through a couple of setups and it's so much better, and like, it's faster than Touch ID. And it was really great to see what people who don't spend all of their lives centered on the new phone, the new computer, the new Apple TV, whatever. It was really great to see those perspectives. So I'm looking forward to it. I love that Apple was doing it. And here's the thing that I think people aren't getting, is that this is Apple being a consumer company. They are now democratizing the smartphone the way that they democratize home computers, the way they democratize desktop publishing. So people who are saying that Tim Cook's Apple isn't Steve Jobs' Apple, like, look at stuff like this and tell me that that's a true statement, because I will absolutely disagree with you on it, because this is the deal. And this is just more Apple going, here's where I'm finding the world getting its news from, so I'm going to distribute our new thing to those, to that group of people. And I think Gruber's just mad, and there's someone else who was mad about it too that I can't remember his name. People who are mad about it are just mad because, like, they're finally at the cool kids table, and they found out that Apple's not looking at the cool kids table anymore, and so now they're upset. And like, you did this to someone else. Like, don't you understand
that they're still doing it? They're just supplement.
Right, but it's the circle of life. Like, you weren't the very, very first, and you actually got one in your hand that you were allowed to put out, that you were allowed to live with. And these people got, like, a supervised PR session in some location in New York City, which is also not the same thing. None of those things were called reviews. So I really want everybody to just sort of calm down and, like, maybe go check some of those out. Because I thought, like, the controversy about this made me go watch some of those videos, those first look hands-on videos.
And
it was
fun.
They were super fun. And it was very interesting to me to see what other people's perspective was like. And this is the kind of stuff that I was always really excited about. Like the iPad, you know, when the iPad was released and stuff like that, like getting to see the potential in it and seeing other people see the potential in it is the part that I think is fantastic.
Hey, amen, Kelly.
We have only a couple minutes left, but you hit on something that I want to bring us back in now, and it's the gestures on the iPhone X, because people are going to get these phones and gestures are different.
Yeah.
So I'm writing up all these different gestures so there'll be an easy reference for all of you. But until I get all of them up, here's the short rundown. If you want to go to the home screen from anywhere, at the bottom of your iPhone X screen, there's that there'll be that long line that just kind of runs along the bottom. Just swipe up from the bottom of the screen up across that, and that takes you back to the home screen. And that also works if you're on the lock screen. Swipe up, and you can get to the home screen that way too. But that also means that Control Center, which on every other Apple device or iOS device, you get to by swiping up, that doesn't work anymore. So what you need to do on the iPhone X is swipe down from the right horn. And what I mean by that, if you look at the screen, there's that black notch at the top of the screen, and that's where the sensors and the cameras and stuff are. On the other side of that black notch, there's a little bit of screen that's lit up. Those are the horns. So on that right side, if you swipe down, that gets you Control Center. If you swipe on the left horn, that gets you notifications.
Nice.
Yeah. So now, then how do you get to, the app switcher thing.
Yeah.
The way to do that, go to the bottom of the screen and swipe where the controls would be if you could see buttons right there. It's like in that bottom, I'll call it centimeter of the screen.
Yeah.
Swipe down there from
centimeter. Left to right. Oh, so cool, Jeff. So cool.
I did that just for you, John.
I'm breathing hard.
I know. Oh. Anyhow, so swipe in that bottom area where the home button ought to be, and left to right, and that'll get you into the app chooser.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, another thing that I thought was really funny in one of those hands-on was that somebody called the Face ID camera stuff up there the unibrow, and I thought that was really funny.
Oh my god.
iPhone unibrow. I got a kick out of it.
I'm thinking of naming my iPhone 10 Frida Kahlo.
I was thinking I need like the right lock screen of Bert from Sesame Street.
You know, when you do these swipes on the side of the notch, it's a very horny experience.
And with that, I don't think we can
good
top
night,
it. So
everybody.
We're going to wrap up. That John was amazing. John, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Kelly,
and amen to everything you said, Kelly.
And Kelly, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And I've been getting some responses to my question for all of you listeners, which is, which an emoji do you want me to use when I'm testing that when I get my new iPhone? And I'm surprised at the results that I'm getting back from people. And I mean that in a really good way. So keep those coming in. And then Friday, when I get my phone and I start testing stuff, whichever an emoji was picked as the top choice, that's the one that I'll make sure that I use in all my hands-on and review coverage. So let me know. And thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.